Good morning. Great to be with you. Great to worship with you. And I am very thankful for every opportunity that we have to be together, every opportunity we have to praise the Lord and honor His name by the way we behave, the way we think, and what we say as we lift up our voices to God in worship. This morning, as I think about coming out of life alive, there are a couple of things I want to share with you. One of them was written by Dr. Samuel Palmer Brooks. He was president of Baylor University in Texas from 1902 until his death in 1931. And on his deathbed, he wrote a message to the senior class of 1931. And this has been read several times to graduating seniors from Baylor University. He said, "I stand on the border of mortal life, but I face eternal life. I look backward to the years of the past to see all the pettiness, all triviality. Those things shrink into nothing and disappear. Adverse criticism has no meaning now. Only the worthwhile things, the constructive things that have built for the good of mankind and the glory of God, those are the only things that count now. There is beauty, there is joy, and there is laughter in life, as there ought to be. But remember, my students, not to regard lightly nor to ridicule sacred things, those worthwhile things. Hold them dear, cherish them, for they alone will sustain you in the end. And remember, too, that only through work and oft-times hardships may they be attained. But the compensation of blessing and sweetness at the last will glorify every hour of work and every heartache from hardship." Those are great words. They're great words to live by. Now, not to wait until our deathbed to be thinking in that way. But what Dr. Samuel Palmer Brooks was wanting to do was to encourage you to live life in such a way that you're going to come out of this world alive. And we mean spiritually alive. We mean alive to God, dead to yourself, alive to God through Jesus Christ. But that's hard work. Just a little bit ago, as I was thinking about this sermon, I've preached on the works of the flesh a number of times. I've read Galatians 5, 19, and following many, many times. I'm not sure about every behavior that I've undertaken in life, but as I look at that, for example, I don't think I've ever committed murder in the sense that that passage is talking about. I have likely, because of my attitude and because of my way of thinking and acting, I've probably killed some relationships that were very important. In fact, I have to work very hard. I have to think very hard about the way that I behave, sometimes toward my own family, sometimes toward good friends, sometimes toward people that I think have been ugly to me or acted in such a way that it seemed to me they were ugly to me. But in thinking about the list of the works of the flesh, as I go back and honestly evaluate my life, it's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty embarrassing to look at that list, those categories of sin, and think in some way almost all of those sins have been a part of my life. As I thought about that, and as we observe the Lord's Supper, I think all the time, one of the things Mark said in one of his prayers was for us to put away worldly things. And I think that's a great phrase. I believe what we mean by that, and when I say we, Mark is not the only person in this room that's ever prayed in that way. Put away worldly things. That is to say, Stop thinking about lunch. Stop thinking about school tomorrow. Stop thinking about the job tomorrow. Stop thinking about those things that are going on in life that you and I get so caught up in, and we just got it, then we're just doing this about life. Stop that and reflect on what God has done for you. That's hard, isn't it? Hard with a cell phone in your hand. Hard wanting to look at emails. Hard wanting to look at texts. Hard wanting to respond to somebody in some way. It's hard. We have a lot of beautiful children, but those children require a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of training, a lot of discipline. It's hard to concentrate and put those worldly things out of your mind and concentrate on what the Lord has done for you. But I would say in another way, we need to think about worldly things. Those things that grab hold of us and pull us away from the Lord. We need to think about what we've done that could, if we persist in that lifestyle, separate us from the Lord and keep us from obtaining the blessings that God wants us to have. So I would say that we need to think about the worldly things that we've been involved in that have the potential of sending us away from God forever, and give thanks to God that He has washed those sins away. What a great opportunity the Lord's Supper presents to us in a very special ceremonial way. We have that opportunity regularly. Hard to come out of life alive. David Kinnemer, who is the president of the Barna Group, he says, in virtually every study we conduct representing thousands of interviews every year, he uses the phrase born-again Christians, and then he explains that he's talking about people who say they've made a personal commitment to Christ, that they say that that's important to them, and they believe that they will go to heaven at death because they've confessed their sin and accepted Christ as Savior, much more than people who just claim to be Christians. You see, he's talking about people like you and me who have repented of sins, confessed Christ's name, and been buried in water, raised to walk in newness of life. That's the kind of people that he's talking about who were surveyed. He says those Christians fail to display much attitudinal or behavior evidence of transformed lives. For instance, he says, based on a study released a few years ago, we found that most of the lifestyle activities of born-again Christians were statistically equivalent to those of non-born-again people. In other words, when you ask those Christians to identify their activities over the last 30 days, those believers were just as likely. Are you awake? Are you listening to this? Those believers were as likely to visit a pornographic website. They were as likely to take something that did not belong to them. They were as likely to consult a medium or a psychic. They were as likely to physically fight or abuse someone. They were as likely to have consumed enough alcohol to be considered legally drunk. They were as likely to have used an illegal, non-prescription drug. They were as likely to have said something to someone that was not true. They were as likely to have gotten back at someone for something he or she did, and they were as likely to have said mean things behind another person's back. That's you. That's me. Are you getting the impression it's hard to get out of life alive? In our daily Bible reading, boy, we are blessed to have a congregation that is encouraging us to read God's Word every day. I recently read through Psalm 119 again. If you want to hear some things that are unthinkably amazing, go back and read Psalm 119 again. It's long. It is long. And if you don't like long readings, you probably want to break it down like most Bible readings do, but what great power. In the passages that were read by David a while ago, there are several suggestions about coming out of life alive that I want to share with you this morning. It's hard for you, it's hard for me to be what God wants us to be. The world has an amazing pull on us. The world has an amazing charm to all of us. We get excited. We like being popular. We want to be liked. We like being dressed right. We like walking right, talking right. We like being accepted by everybody, including those people in the world. So with such a challenge, how do we get out of the world alive? Let me suggest to you several things. One of them, this passage, encourages you to memorize the Word of God. In verse 11 of this reading, the psalmist said, "Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." What do you think about regularly? What are you thinking about now? What are you thinking about now? If we could know the truth, it would probably be right that several people in this room are thinking about the things of the world that Mark prayed that we put out of our minds while we worship God. We've got so much going on. We owe so much to the world, we think. We're thinking about all kinds of things. What are you thinking about now? We need to be listening to what the Word of God says. "Your Word I have hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin." You want to get out of this world alive? Learn the Word of God. Listen to what it says. Put it into practice in your lives. Paul said some things that are very important to us in chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 8. "Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, if there's any virtue, if there's any excellence, think on these things, meditate seriously, deeply, long for those things to be in your heart and in your life." Get the Word of God in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. Hide it there. Memorize it so that it will keep you from sin. Secondly, you need to personalize the Word of God. You see, I'm up here preaching to a few hundred people. What does it mean to you? Doesn't make any difference to me what it means to Richard England. Makes a difference what it means to me. Makes a difference how I am going to apply it. You see, we're different. Richard and I are a little bit different. He's going to apply things to him in a different way than I do. But we both have to take the Word of God, hide it in our heart, and personalize the Word of God. "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me." Teach me. You see, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, "Yeah, I'm teaching you." But the psalmist in his word is saying, "Teach me." And that's what I have to do as I try to encourage you. And though I am trying to teach you, it is of no value to me if I'm only thinking this applies to you. You ought to think about underlining the word "me" in your Bible. When something applies to you, underline that, and you'll see how seriously God takes you in His Word. And He's wanting you to take His Word seriously into your life. When we come to God's Word, we need to ask ourselves questions like these. Is there a lesson in it for me? You know, when I hear about something, I think of somebody, boy, they need to be listening to that. Is it for me? Is there a sin for me to avoid? Is there something that really gnaws at me and works on me? Do I need to get rid of that thought, get rid of that sin, get rid of that problem? Or is there a blessing that waits for me? We all want to know what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of it? I was talking to somebody yesterday who had a young son to die. Sudden heart attack. Young boy to die with a sudden heart attack. And she is saying, "Some days I want to know why. And I don't understand. I'm trying to do good. And here this comes into my life." Hard for us to see blessings in our troubles and sorrows, and God tries to tell us all through His Word. There are great blessings to be had, even in the greatest of trials and problems and troubles. Is there a blessing for me? Is there a promise for me to claim? Is God offering me something? And God's word is sure, has He said, if I do this, I will receive this. Is there something like that in this for me when I look at God's word? Is there something that I need to carry with me every day? Is there a thought in God's word for me today? We need to personalize the word of God, and then we need to verbalize the word of God. Look at verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. To declare just simply means to make known. What does God say? What does God say? God has something to say about everything in our lives. You have relationship difficulties in your life? God has a lot to say about that. You have job circumstances? God has something to say about employers, employees, about the relationships that we ought to have. God has something to say about every circumstance in your life. Can you declare to other people what God says about life and about difficulties? We need to think. What have you read? Those of you that are doing daily Bible reading, I was reading the other day, and somebody said that they sometimes let God's Word be their prayer. You have trouble praying? Read. Go back and read the Psalms. And let the words of those Psalms that are there be your prayer sometimes, because they fit your life unthinkably so. Are you alone? Are you lonely? Are you struggling? Are people putting you down? Are people stepping on you to get somewhere in life? You read those Psalms and let the Psalms become your prayer. When you begin to think about God and His revelation to you, and you've personalized it, you can help other people by declaring the Word of God, and you can become a blessing to someone else. We don't use the word vitalize so very much, but when you take a look at some of the definitions of this word, vital or vitality, it means pertaining to life or existence. If there's vitality in someone, there's life. When there's vitality in someone, it could mean extremely important. It could mean full of exuberance, full of health and spirit. Or it could mean full of creativity. Lots of meaning in the word. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 14. I have rejoiced, and this is the word here that is being translated. There's life. There's vitality. I'm rejoicing. I'm exuberant about your word. Pretty significant statement that he makes. And then he says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will delight myself. I'm excited about your word, about your rules. Are you excited about rules? We hate rules, don't we? I hate them. Boy, we have them over at the school. We have all kinds of rules. Man, we've been having some troubles with door locks, and now I have to go all the way around back if I want to get in my office, and sometimes that door's not open. The rule says call security. We got all kinds of rules that are frustrating, and those are minor, aren't they? There are so many things that are out there. When we look at what God has designed for us, the psalmist said, I will rejoice. I will delight. I'm rejoicing in your testimonies. I'm delighting in all of your statutes, the laws that you provide for me. We need to put some really serious joy in our lives when it comes to the Word of God. Let it be alive in you. Let other people see what you think. And then we need to internalize this Word. Verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate on your ways. Well, do you think I need to think about Galatians 5:19 for me? That's for those people out there in the world, isn't it? It's for people who don't care about God. It's for people who would never consider getting in a pulpit and preaching. Oh, no. I need to think about those terms in there, because many of them are going to be referring to my life. I need to be thinking, how does that work? How am I guilty of some of these things? What is going on in my life that makes me need God more and more and more? We need that. And if I just think in a superficial way, I'm going to be looking at you and say, listen, you naughty folks out there, you need to be thinking about Galatians 5:19. Let me think about the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the meekness and the kindness, those things against which there's no law. I need to think about those things. But you see, we need so much to meditate on God's Word. And that means we think deeply about it. The psalmist says when he comes to the Word of God, he is going to stop and think deeply so that it will consume him. It will become a part of him. And eventually, it's going to rule in his life. He is dead serious about the Word of God. How about you? Just think for a minute about whatever your attitude was when David read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Were you seriously, deeply meditating, thinking about you, thinking about what you need, putting that into your life so that you could think about it on and on and on? He is going to contemplate God's ways. He's going to anticipate God's ways. Sometimes life makes us anticipate. I've talked to several people, some this week, who have serious medical conditions in their family, and they're being made to meditate on God's Word, anticipate what is going to happen based on God's Word. For example, it is appointed unto man once to die. Do you ever anticipate that? Do you ever think about that? What is it going to be like? How is it going to come? How am I going to respond to it if I have a chance to respond to it before it comes? What am I thinking about God's Word? You see, the psalmist says, I'm going to get serious about that, and I am going to anticipate what God says to me. So we want to internalize the Word of God. We want to make it what God would have it be. Here's a great commitment in this passage. I've sought you. David wasn't sitting over in a corner waiting for God to bring something good to him. He wasn't waiting on God to solve all the problems in his life, to make everything perfect. He wasn't waiting on somebody good to come along and lift him up. He says, I have sought you. And then verse 11, I've hid your word in my heart. All along, he is seeking God. He is taking God's word and he's putting it in his heart. And then he says, I've declared that word to other people. I am teaching people what I have in my heart. I am teaching people as I seek you for them to seek you. I have rejoiced. I'm excited about what I know, about what God's will is, what God wants me to do, what God is thinking about for me. I will meditate on it, and I will delight in it. What about you? Are you in a position today to come out of this world alive? Today, there'll be little babies that will leave this world because of some problem. Might be health, might be accident, might be murder. There'll be people, college students' age, leave this world today for any number of reasons. There'll be people who are the age of all these folks back through here who have young children. They'll leave this world today. There'll be people my age and older who will leave this world today. Are you in a position? Am I in a position to come out of this world alive? When I think about God's Word, is my response to it as David's? I sought you. Are you seeking God today? Are you seeking to be like him through doing what his will says? We're going to sing this song. And it's to encourage anyone who needs to respond to the Lord to come, seek the Lord, obey his will. If you need to repent of your sins and be baptized, confessing his great name, do that. If you need to respond as a child of God who has not been faithful, come and do that so that you can come out of this world alive unto God and live with him forever. Come if you need as we stand and as we sing.